Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Hello, Through the Word. How are you doing today? I'm doing awesome. Thanks for asking. We are in Numbers 32 and almost through this book about following God. And you know what? I think we'll just stop here. I mean, we did most of it, so that's pretty good. Just kidding. Actually, Numbers 32 is about just that, following God most of the way. The Israelites are almost in the Promised Land, and for some of them, almost is good enough. And for a lot of Christians, following God most of the way is good enough for them too. So what do you do with that? What happens to half-hearted faith? Let's jump in at verse 1. The Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So it's two tribes, Reuben and Gad, and it starts with lots of herds and flocks. Funny how having lots of stuff makes it easier to slack off on following God. Well, maintaining all those animals would be easier if they just settled down. And they looked at the land around them and saw that it was nice and green. Sort of reminds me of a guy named Lot. Now, the land they're looking at was not in the Promised Land. It was close, just across the Jordan River. But then again, why do you need God's plan when you have something that looks just as good? So they came to Moses and made a request. Verse 5, "If we have found favor in your eyes," they said, "let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan." It sounds like a reasonable request. Let's see what Moses says. Verse 6. Moses said to the Gadites and Reubenites, "Should your fellow Israelites go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over into the land the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land." And then down in verse 13, "The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. And here you are, a brood of sinners, standing in the place of your fathers and making the Lord even more angry with Israel. If you turn away from following him, he will again leave all this people in the wilderness, and you will be the cause of their destruction." Well, now, I don't think he likes the idea. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but doesn't sound happy. So what's the big deal? There is one word that Moses uses three times. Verse 11, "because they have not followed me wholeheartedly." Verse 12, "Joshua and Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly." Verse 15, "if you turn away from following him." This whole journey was never just about the land. It was never about good pasture. It was about following God. And when God is your trail guide, there's only one way to follow, wholehearted. Gad and Reuben want to go most of the way, half-hearted faith. Christians, is your walk with God about getting somewhere? Is it green pastures you're looking for? Settle in and get comfy? Or is it about him? As the old saying goes, you're free to sit on the fence between the kingdom and the world. But know this, the devil owns the fence. For me, with all the different stories that weave together in my life, my hope is that it will all be summed up in three words. He followed Jesus. Or maybe just one more. Wholehearted. I like that word. There, put that on the epitaph. Back in Numbers, Moses delivers a harsh rebuke against Reuben and Gad for settling. Plus, they'd be dodging the battle in the Promised Land, letting their brothers take all the risks. But Gad and Reuben assure Moses that won't happen. Verse 17, "We will arm ourselves for battle and go ahead of the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. Meanwhile, our women and children will live in fortified cities for protection from the inhabitants of the land." So the men are willing to fight. They just want to leave their families behind, in safety. Again, it seems reasonable enough. Don't put the kiddos in danger. But it still doesn't address the point. It wasn't God's plan. Still, I can relate to the choice here. When I was a youth pastor, we did missions to San Francisco in the Tenderloin District. Every dark sin you can think of, you'll find it in the Tenderloin. And most of it's right out on the streets. So, do I bring my little kids? It was a tough call, but I brought the kids. I wanted them to see the reality of drugs and sin, and see God's love for the lost firsthand. It came up again last year. I got an invitation to pastor a church plant in Long Beach. The ministry reaches the rough and tumble right off the streets, from homeless to druggies, from prostitutes to just everyday families. They're all there. Now, our home church in the suburbs, a few miles away, has an amazing kids ministry, youth groups, all the green pastures a family could want. But in the end, I wanted to give my kids a front row seat to see the power of the gospel, to see the light shine in the darkness, and witness the victory of the Lord. It's not enough to hear about it from afar. But to be honest, that didn't make the decision. Ultimately, it came down to one thing: follow God. Well, back in Numbers, Moses agrees to the terms, and Reuben and Gad get their wish. But he challenges them: keep your word. And verse 23 is a sharp warning. If you fail to do it, you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Now there's a memory verse. Your sin will find you out. Hiding sin is like hiding weeds in dirt. It will spring up. So the leaders from Reuben and Gad give the thumbs up. We got it. We'll do it. Aye, aye, Captain Moses. And then in verse 33, Moses distributes the land east of the Jordan to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, where did they come from? They must have heard the plan and wanted in. Apparently, compromise is contagious. And in verse 34, they all started building. So that's that, right? Nice compromise. Worked out for everyone. In the last few verses, a couple guys even got to name cities after themselves. Good for them. But hold on a second. Is that really the whole story? Be careful. The price tag on compromise is never paid up front. The devil always sells on store credit, and the interest rate is astronomical. Fast forward a few generations. Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh did indeed dwell on the land east of the Jordan, just outside the promised land. And it was good land. The cows were happy, and the kids were safe, at first. When idolatry invaded Israel from the surrounding nations, it hit these tribes first. When the feasts were held in Jerusalem, the Lord's calendar for a God-centered life, it sure was a long way to travel just for a feast. So why not just build a local altar to a local God? And slowly but surely, the descendants of the men who didn't want to follow God all the way didn't follow God at all. So what is the price tag on a half-hearted Christian life? There are benefits, of course. Less battles, cushy life, easy on the kids. But count the cost. Follow God all the way in. Live out everything that he calls you to. Bring the wife, bring the kids, and show them what it looks like when faith goes wholehearted.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.